Hello, and welcome to Around the Political World with John Rothman. I am your host, John Rothman. If you're a fan of the show, make sure to hit the follow button on the top right of Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you are listening at this very moment. When you hit follow, leave a review, or share an episode with a friend. It helps other people discover the show, keeps us going, and as I like to remind you each and every day, it expands our base. Yesterday was a fascinating day. I spent the morning listening carefully to the arguments before the United States Supreme Court. And essentially, what I heard was a question of whether a president should have absolute immunity and shocking questions and conclusions about the nature of the American presidency. One of the key arguments was that all presidents should have immunity. I hastened to point out that if Richard Nixon had had immunity, he would have remained in office, would not have had to resign, and ultimately would not have accepted a presidential pardon. And he would never have been held accountable for the things that he did during Watergate, which brought such disgrace to him and to the United States of America. Why did Nixon accept a pardon? That was one of the questions that was posed. And the reason he did it is because if he had not accepted a pardon, he would have been put on trial, and he would have been convicted. That is the general consensus. When you go back and you read all the memoirs of those days, and I reviewed everything yesterday, although I lived those days, I remember them vividly. Richard Nixon most assuredly would have been put on trial and would have gone to jail because he committed crimes. Now, the question becomes, why did Nixon accept the pardon? What if he'd had official immunity? Nixon never argued that he had absolute immunity. He argued for the integrity of executive privilege. And you may remember a man by the name of Baruch Korf, Rabbi Baruch Korf, who set up a committee called the Committee for Fairness to the Presidency, which argued what Donald Trump is arguing today, which is that if Richard Nixon went down, the American presidency would be crippled. That's the argument that Donald Trump is making. It is Nixonian in every sense. And then the question of private acts versus official acts. Look, a president of the United States has protection. That's what executive privilege is all about. But let me remind you that if a president breaks the law, according to the United States versus Richard Nixon, there is no protection. That's why the tapes were finally revealed, because the tapes were able to give us conclusive evidence that Richard Nixon did participate in the cover-up of the Watergate investigation. Let's be crystal clear. Let there be no ambiguity here. Donald Trump also participated in a conspiracy to subvert the American election. And that is what is really at stake here. What happened on January the 6th is something that can never be forgotten in American history. But they want to differentiate the argument of Trump's lawyers between private acts and public acts. And all I can tell you is there is no difference when it comes to trying to subvert an American election. There was an admission by Trump's lawyer that what the court did or should do when it comes to this question, well, it's clear. You have to separate the official acts from the public acts. And what should the court do? Well, the court should demand that Donald Trump be held accountable. Either he tried to subvert the American election or he didn't. Will there be a trial of Donald Trump on these charges before the election? Probably not. A conservative majority on the court will certainly try to prevent, to stall, which is what Donald Trump wants. Look, let me be crystal clear on this. Donald Trump is corrupt. Personally, without any question, as we are learning in the trial that is taking place in New York. But more than that, Donald Trump tried to corrupt the American political process. The most intriguing questions that were posed is, what if a president orders a rival assassinated or a coup? And Trump's lawyers were essentially arguing that if you do that in the context of your official duties, you shouldn't be prosecuted. Rubbish, I say. Of course you should. Clearly that's a violation of the Constitution. Clearly it's a violation of the oath of office. Clearly, it's a violation of what the American presidency should or should not be. Donald Trump, on every level, has proven to be corrupt and trying to corrupt the American political process. Allusion was made by Trump's lawyers to 1876 and 1960. In 1876, the race between Rutherford B. Hayes and Samuel Jones Tilden was a fascinating race. In the end, we know now that Tilden really won, but he was deprived of the presidency because there was an electoral commission appointed of 15 members. It had nothing to do with anything more or less than a 15-member commission, 8 members of whom were Republicans, 7 were Democrats, and that's why there was a victory for Hayes, who, by the way, was referred to by many as your fraudulency during his presidency. But I want to take it a step further. Trump's lawyers indicated that there were double slates put in. Of course there were. There was a contested election. But the difference is that there should have been no contest with Donald Trump. Joe Biden won the states. The idea that they were doing was to substitute a fake slate for the real slate. That's not what the Tilden-Hayes race was all about. And as for 1960 and the Trump lawyers raising the question of Hawaii, which in the end John F. Kennedy carried, do you know why Richard Nixon didn't contest it? Because he realized the 3 electoral votes from Hawaii wouldn't make any difference in the ultimate outcome of the election. Nixon did the honorable thing. You would think that Trump might try to do the honorable thing, but there's no way. This is a man who is so thoroughly corrupt. I want you to understand what is going on now in New York, where David Pecker is on the stand, and he is making it clear that what was done in the Stormy Daniels case, as it's euphemistically called, was done for the campaign. If it's done for the campaign, the idea was to subvert the result and try to make sure that the election was not damaged, the election prospects of Donald Trump were not damaged. This is incredible. And of course, there was a campaign finance violation. No question about it. All these questions lead me to ask the question, why in the world is there any thought that Donald Trump might get away with all of this? This is something we'd better reflect on. We'd better understand that if Donald Trump triumphs, it is the American system which is damaged. I hope the Supreme Court understands it. I hope it is not a partisan situation. And by the way, 1876 was partisan. Democrats on one side, Republicans on the other side. Partisanship in American politics happens. But Donald Trump's corruption of that process is what disturbs me. It is something that we will have to watch. And today, who knows what will happen. But let me assure you of one thing. I remember my history. I wish the Supreme Court justices would remember theirs. Oh, one more thing. Do you remember that after Gerald Ford pardoned Richard Nixon, do you remember that he was called before the House Judiciary Committee? The purpose was to determine whether there was any corrupt intent. It was only the second time that a president of the United States was called before a congressional committee. The idea that the Supreme Court justices seemed to have no knowledge or did not remember all the intricate back and forth dealing with a man who pardoned Nixon, well, that also disturbed me greatly. Presidents are not above the law. By the way, Gerald Ford testified voluntarily. But it is important to note that the minute Richard Nixon accepted the pardon, and Gerald Ford used to carry around in his pocket the actual statute, that once you accept a pardon, you are in fact admitting guilt. Well, these are all questions which we are going to be wrestling with and dealing with, and I wish I had more time to explore the history of that presidential election of 1876 and the election of 1960. What I wish, more than anything else, the Supreme Court would get its historical references in proper order. There is no partisanship here. There is history. And that is what is being made right now. Thanks for tuning into another episode of Around the Political World. I am John Rothman. Make sure to follow along and let me know your thoughts on the show by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts, sharing an episode with a friend or colleague so we can continue to grow. Remember, you can interact with me on Facebook and LinkedIn. My special appreciation to the wonderful producer of Around the Political World with John Rothman, Gogo Zoger. Thanks, Gogo. And we will be back on Monday. Who knows what will happen by Monday? But I can assure you of one thing. Around the Political World with John Rothman will be right here with you, analyzing what's going on. Thanks so much. Have a great weekend.